welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Hugo Sali, Senior VP of Commercial Operations and Managing Director of IR Labs in UK Limited. Good morning, Hugo, and welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Daniel. Good morning.
Listen, the first question I ask is, how did you first come to the semiconductor industry? So hopefully you have an interesting story to share.
Sure, yeah. You know, I don't know if it's interesting, but what I'll say is, you know, pretty much as far as back as I can remember, I've been interested in computers. And, you know, of course, in undergrad and grad school, I studied electrical engineering and computer engineering. And, you know, that was my entry point into semiconductors. I did my master's in research in ion implantation of silicon and understanding the defects and how they move around. And all my coursework was in analog circuit design. You know, went from there to my first job out of grad school and at Intel, and was there for about 20 years. So been in the semiconductor industry for, I don't know, close to 25 years at this point.
And so what was the first computer you got?
Yeah, so I remember programming on my Commodore 64, probably when I was 6 or 7 years old. And I would say that's probably my first time I played on the Ataris before then. And I remember Pong and things like that. But really the first time I started typing in a basic program was on my Commodore 64.
That's great. You know, I actually started on a Commodore PET and then a VIC-20 and then a Commodore 64. So I was a similar path, but a little sooner. But so tell me more about IR Labs. Why did you go there and what is your role at the company?
Yeah, so, you know, a big portion of my time at Intel was running different portions of the data center business. Namely in high performance computing. So the upper echelon of compute, think supercomputers and technical computing, the machines that do all the large computational simulations. And one of the big challenges there was the bandwidth bottleneck, whether it's a bottleneck between compute and compute, you know, between multiple processors, or a processor and memory, or a processor and storage. What we've seen in the industry over the last several decades is, you know, Moore's Law has been really good at packing more transistors into the processor. So you can do more floating point operations. But what we haven't done as an industry is solve the bandwidth bottleneck of bringing the data into the semiconductor, out of the memory device or into the CPU, into the GPU. And that's been one of the traditional challenges, and it keeps getting worse and worse. You pack more transistors in, you can do more floating points, and you don't have enough I/O. So that was one trend that I saw. Towards the end of my career at Intel, I spent time in leading the rack scale design architecture, where, you know, the concept of building disaggregated solutions that pool different resources. So think of it as, you know, a drawer of CPUs, a drawer of memory, and then you have a low latency fabric and intelligent software that composes a solution that's needed. Both of those applications are bottlenecked by bandwidth and the need for low latency fabrics. And when I was looking for my next career opportunity and I came across IR Labs, to me that was, you know, this is the technology that's gonna help us solve some of these traditional bottlenecks in architecture. The new architectures for disaggregated solutions and then existing architectures for chip-to-chip and networking type solutions. So that's really what attracted me to IR Labs and why I've been here for about 3.5 years.
Can you explain optical I/O for our listeners?
Sure thing. You know, fundamentally, optical I/O just replaces traditional electrical signaling that comes out of every single semiconductor with a low latency, low power optical signal. So think of it as just replacing voltages and electrons with photons. That's the simplest definition of optical I/O.
how is this likely to impact the semiconductor industry? I mean, why does this matter?
Yeah, so earlier I talked about the bandwidth bottlenecks between different semiconductors, the CPUs and memory and storage. Think of optical I/O as the solution that's going to let us get to the next several generations, next several decades of connectivity. So many in the industry think that traditional electrical signaling is tapping out at around 112 gigs on SerDes. You know, there's some interesting design points around 224 gig that are coming out in the near future, but we know that there's no reduction in the amount of data that's being generated, and we know there's no reduction in the amount of compute that's needed to process that data and move it around. And optical I/O will impact every high-performance application out there, whether it's a cloud application, whether it's an HPC or an AI application, telco applications, embedded applications. You fundamentally need to change the way chips talk to each other from being electrical-based to optical to be able to keep driving performance of these systems and solutions, to start reining in some of the power and drive efficiency. You know, optical I/O is about a tenth of the power of traditional electrical I/O. And you can get shoreline densities. The amount of bandwidth that you can get in and out of a semiconductor with optical I/O is about 1,000 times the amount of data. So when you put those two together, you get a very high efficiency, low latency, high performance solution that helps address the data deluge, all this data that's being generated, all this data that's being consumed and being processed, uses power, and optical I/O will help solve those problems.
Yeah, data deluge is a good term for it. So who are you working with on this?
Yeah, so we've been pretty public about a couple of our partnerships. We've worked with Intel and their FPGA division in the past. Just recently, we've announced a collaboration with Hewlett Packard Enterprises. It's a multi-year strategic collaboration to develop their next generation data center architectures, both on the switching sides and the glueless disaggregated architectures. You may be familiar with their switch that they acquired through the Cray acquisition called Slingshot. So those are two of the larger, I would say, customers and industry players that we work with directly. But we work with a number of other folks within the traditional optics business. So there's an MSA called the CWWDM MSA. That's a consortium of like-minded thinkers around optical I/O and the need for high-density optics. So recently we announced a collaboration with Lumentum, one of the world's largest laser vendors. We also work very closely with MACOM and Sivers, also on the laser side. Lastly, I'd say GlobalFoundries has been one of our closest partners and allies in this mission. We've been manufacturing and collaborating with them for almost a decade on multiple process technologies. And just recently, a few weeks back, they announced their photonics platform, which is the core technology that we manufacture on.
Yeah, it's good to hear about GlobalFoundries. I was going to ask you about that because this is a good application for them. You know, I enjoy working with GlobalFoundries. I think they're brilliant people and done a really good job, specifically over the last few years.
They have. You know, I can't speak, I can't speak enough about the great partnership we've had with them and the collaboration. We're one of their lead process vehicles, working on bringing up the technology and testing out the PDK. So it's been great working with GF.
Yeah, I love their IPO. It's been spectacular. So let's talk about specific markets. I know you spend a lot of time in the data center business with Intel, but what markets and industries are likely to be impacted? What are the innovations that we're going to see?
Yeah, so optical I/O really fits into a number of different markets, and even within each one of those markets, different applications. So You mentioned data center and cloud, whether it's traditional networking over time with CPO or disaggregated architectures. That's optical I/O is going to be foundational to enabling the next wave of product design and innovation there. High performance computing and AI and machine learning. This is where glueless fabrics and memory semantic fabrics come into play. You know, think of AI applications that need hundreds or thousands of compute elements all connected to each other with a very low latency, low power fabric to be able to solve these computationally intensive problems. In the telco space, we see a number of applications that need optical I/O. A key one is antenna design. So think the 5G antennas with the tens of RF elements in there, all trying to bring in very high density RF data into centralized compute. Also think disaggregated base station designs, similarly to the disaggregated cloud designs. Those are two areas in telco. Aerospace is another area that we have a number of partnerships and collaborations in. For applications like avionics, phased array radar, satellite communications. You know, the value proposition in aerospace mirrors a lot of the ones that you see in compute, but two of the key differences are, one, distance. So the distances you're traversing from chip to chip, instead of being a meter or two, or let's say five or tens of meters, could be on the orders of hundreds of meters, so you need to be able to send that signal a longer distance. And the second one is EM resiliency. So you don't have the same electromagnetic concerns when you have an optical signal versus an electrical signal. And then the last area you'll see optical I/O get deployed in is in sensing. Whether that's RF sensing or optical sensing, think anything that's bringing in analog real-world data and trying to bring it back into compute to process and make a decision on.
Got it. So when should we start seeing products based on optical I/O?
Very soon. So we've been shipping product to our customers for the last year or so. And of course, our customers are then going off and developing their subsystems and their products around it. But you know, hopefully by end of this year or beginning of next year, you'll see the first public proof points of solutions implemented with IR Labs' optical I/O technology in them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's nice to talk to you. I know we've met before, but it's nice catching up. And IR Labs is definitely on my radar, so hopefully we can talk again soon. But great discussion. Thank you, Hugo. And thank you all for listening to this Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. And have a great day.
Thanks so much, Daniel. Great talking to you again. Talk to you soon.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.